For those among us today where this may be your first Sunday with us, you're thinking there's a lot of celebrating going on here. And that would be true, except for I've been here long enough to tell you this church loves to celebrate every Sunday, which I think is a hallmark of a healthy congregation, when we can look around us and say, God is good, and here's how we are evidencing God's goodness among us. Suzanne, congratulations. Good to see your family surrounded with you, celebrating with you. So welcome to First Baptist Church, and a home for all of us to be together. I know with our celebration class, there are many medal winners today who competed over the weekend with Special Olympics, so congratulations to those that are bearing the accomplishments of a good weekend. Much to celebrate. Josh, we're glad you're here. No pressure that you are with this church where I happen to serve in this capacity, but we're delighted to have you with us. That segues, I think, kind of nicely as we move to this series, and in particular today's question. You see, I was sitting here thinking, and I'm not biasing the moment by pointing out that Jessica, a graduate of the Mercy University's McAfee School of Theology, Zeke coming and sharing with the young people this weekend, is also a graduate of the School of Theology. Josh is a first-year student with the School of Theology, and I'm so grateful in this capacity. But what I really want to point out is not a shameless commercial for the Mercer University McAfee School of Theology, but I'd like to kind of turn it around and point it to you. Because years ago, you believed in a vision that who will answer God's call for future generations? And so whether it's McAfee or that other school in Texas, or there's one in other places, the point is God summoned, and in the capacities that we had at the time, both then and now, we answer. And we answer every single Sunday. This season of Epiphany, I've been approaching the series with when God asks the question, believing that both in the Old Testament canon and the New Testament canon, God is asking questions, and our responses can shape how we engage the walk that God has called us, that can also change lives, change our communities, and change our world. I invite you, brothers and sisters in Christ, to listen along to the reading of Scripture from Isaiah chapter 6. And though our focal passage will be in the verses 7 through 8 and 9, I would like to share with you the earlier verses also. Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne high and lofty, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. Seraphs were in attendance above him. Each had six wings. With two they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, and the whole earth is full of the glory." The pivots on the thresholds shook at the voices of those called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips. I live among people of unclean lips. Yet my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." And then one of the seraphs flew to me, holding a live coal that had been taken from the altar with a pair of tongs. And the seraph touched my mouth with it and said, "Now that this has touched your lips, your guilt has departed and your sin is blotted out." Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And I said, "Here am I. Send me." May God bless the reading and hearing of this His holy word. Let us pray. As we open the doors of the church, O Lord, in this time of worship, we pray now you all the more open our minds that we may think critically with the mind of Christ. Open our hearts that we may love compassionately with the love of Christ. Open our lives that we may serve in the very presence of Christ. For we offer this prayer in the name of Christ. Amen. So 3 weeks ago, We listen to the question of God in Genesis to Adam, where are you? 2 weeks ago, we listened to the question posed to Cain, where is your brother? Last week, we engaged the book of Job, where the question was, where were you? And today we hear a new question. This time God is asking the question in the presence of Isaiah, and this question is surrounded by drama, a vision of God filling the temple. Angels called seraphs are flitting in and out of the place. Smoke has filled the capacity of the temple. The very presence of God is spilling out all over the place. It's as if KISS has shown up for a concert at the State Farm Arena. Everything is shaking. The room is electric. And the question that God poses, whom shall I send?
And who will go for us?
Who will go for us? It's the call of a grateful nation that asks of men and women in times of peril and war, who will go for us? It's the call issued when a job needs to be done and no one wants to do it. Who will go for us? It's the call that this very church issues when we're inviting people to dare to stretch beyond their comfort zones and do something audacious for God's sake. Who will go for us? It's the invitation that is bigger than our mightiest militaries, grander than our ambitions, and larger than our imaginations. Now, a pastor friend of mine once quipped that we Baptists like to engage the question, here I am, send somebody else. So send the preacher. That's what we pay him for. Send the missions committee. Don't they care about causes? Send a check. That ought to cover things for a while. But this is a personal question. And although it's posed to this prophet Isaiah, I can't help but believe it's our kind of question too, where deep down we find ourselves wrestling with the question posed to us, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? And notice how Isaiah responds. Here am I. Now, you know, there's actually a bit of a difference between Isaiah's response and, say, Samuel. Samuel, when he was called of God in the temple, said, here I am. To respond, here I am, is a response of, this is where I am, this is my location, this is where I stand, this is my position, here I am. Now that's usually where we relate with responses. We have no problem stating positions. Tribalism and identity politics are at a fevered pitch these days. Here I am, a Republican. Here I am, a Democrat. Here I am, a Baptist, a Catholic, a Presbyterian. Here I am, a conservative, liberal, confused, confident. Here I am, and we post it on Facebook. Here I am, and we picture it on Instagram. Here I am, if you're up to speed with things, it's on TikTok. Here I am. We have no trouble talking about our positions. The question that God asks, who will go for us, is actually not concerned with positions. The loud voice in the temple is not asking Isaiah, so tell me, Isaiah, where do you stand with Israel in the northern kingdom politics compared and contrasted to Judah in the southern kingdom politics, which, by the way, if you know your Old Testament history, is precisely the political problem that Isaiah was prophesying within. God doesn't need to know Isaiah's position here, but it's often easier to answer questions that you can let people know where you stand on the position. Where do you stand? I remember when, I think it was Ahmaud Arbery, was murdered down in South Georgia. And in that moment, I felt very keenly vulnerable on behalf of my neighbors in my cul-de-sac. Many of y'all know I live just up Howes Road, just a few miles away. So I Well, I'm going to just go on and say it here, give you something to talk about at lunch. I put a Black Lives Matter sign in my yard. Because, again, I felt very vulnerable for my neighbors of color. Now, the HOA, it's always the HOA. We don't do political signs in our yards. I said, well, it's not political. I argued a little bit, but I get it. I get it. We want to tell people where we stand. We fly flags, we display ribbons, we tweet about it, we go to marches and rallies, we chant slogans, we write articles, we even have lapel pins. I forgot mine today, declaring the positions that this is where I stand. And don't misunderstand me. Many times this is really important. Over 500 years ago, Martin Luther, being tried for heresy after nailing the 95 Theses on the Wittenberg door, he defended the accusations of heresy before the Pope, stating, "Here I stand, I cannot do otherwise." Oh, we do need to know where we stand on things in this world. No question about it. But God's question today is not concerned with position. Isaiah gives us a nod to this in the response. The question before us is more probing. Who will go for us? Isaiah answers, "Here am I." Isaiah's reply is not stating a position, but declaring a possession. God needs to know, are you willing to go with me and for us? You see, we like God better as a noun. You remember learning about nouns, person, place, or thing. And when you can make God exclusively a noun, what do you do with God? You're placing God in a tangible position that, according to the commandments, is a graven image and a no-no. God is noun, so don't misunderstand me. But theologians remind us that God is also verb. The call of Isaiah and the call of First Baptist Roswell is at its core our call. Anybody can state a position, but God is asking, what about you? The "here I am" moves to "here am I." Now, don't get me wrong, many people in Scripture have responded that the presence of God, rather the positioning with God, is legitimized, Samuel just being one of them. But Isaiah's voice echoes the voice of Mary. We're not that far removed from Advent, right? Mary said the identical same response. "Here am I. God, I don't know about this mess of this world. I don't know about what you're inviting me to do. I don't fully understand the problems before us. They are complex and difficult and oftentimes nuanced." I want to also speak confessionally here. There are plenty of things in the trajectory of my ministry which, if I had a go back to do, I'd say, you know, I think I was wrong about that. "Here I am" sounds good, feels good. We can place it in concrete and look at it and celebrate it. But Isaiah is responding that maybe God's on the move. And maybe my response is as much a response to join with God wherever God is going. The young people get together over a weekend and they talk about God. But it's not just about God in the weekend, but where God is calling them and taking them. And we gather here and we exchange ideas, we talk politics, we argue, we debate, we even divide from time to time. I mean, we're Baptists, for goodness sake. But at the end of the day, the call is, but who will go for me? Whom shall I send? It's moving from the nuance of a position to a possession, where one's entire orientation is wherever God may be taking. What will you do when God summons you? Now, yes, for some of us, we walk down aisles and we say, "I think I'm being called into ministry." And we work with young people We work with music. We work with children and families. We work behind pulpits. We work with pastoral care and counseling. Yeah, that's one way. And it's a legitimate way. But for the rest of us, the call of God is still the same. Whom shall I send? Who will go for us? For God's sake, who will go for us? You could say it began with a meal, where Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, when he'd already done all the preaching and teaching, you know, if you want to be one of my followers, you got to be last. You want to serve me, you got to bear the cross. In fact, you got to see it all the way through, to the extent that later on Peter actually denies knowing this man named Jesus. So at the table, Jesus invited the disciples. And after giving thanks, he took the bread and he broke it and he shared it among them. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken for you." Scripture also reminds us that he took the cup and he shared it among his disciples and said, "Take and drink, for this is the new covenant for the forgiveness of sins." In a moment, the deacons will serve us our bread, our cup. You, as individuals, have that precious opportunity to also serve your neighbor the bread and the cup. In the collective reminder that we're all figuring out how we will answer the summons of God. Now, if you want to stick with the position, stay put in church. We'll see you again next week. But if you want to engage the Holy Spirit of being sent, while we're always about going, let us pray together. Bread and cup, O Lord. Scripture and music and proclamation, fellowship and positioning, we give you thanks. But now, Holy Spirit, come and capture us in a way that we may be nourished for the journey. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.